All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to take a couple of minutes. As some of you guys know, or most of you might know, for the last 9 years, I've been the chaplain for the Sand Gnats. And for 9 years, I've been walking out early on Dusty to go to Grayson Stadium about 10 times during the summer to spend time with the players. And baseball chaplain brings church to the guys because they can't leave the ballpark, you know. So, but God is clearly closing that door because the team's moving to Columbia. I'm not going to go with them. So I just want to read Ephesians 6, 19 and 20 to you. It says, and this is Paul writing in prison. He said, "And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now." He was writing from prison. "Still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should." And that's a prayer that I ask you guys to pray for me, in that with the baseball chapel door closing, and with baseball camp, God's always stretched me to do different things, and it started with baseball and through sports, and it started with baseball camp and Maria Iberg kicking me a couple of times and me saying no a bunch of times, and God trying to get me to do it, me saying no again. It was like 2 years, and I decided to do that, way out of my comfort zone. And now it's become very comfortable, thanks to all you guys. And then he stretched me again with baseball chapel. Now it's I love it. And I'm really bumming that's coming to an end. But through baseball camp, we had a partnership with FCA, which is a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, they've donated the Bibles to us, actually, that we use to give out to the kids on Sunday. And that saves us probably, boy, a good $900. From our budget that we were spending probably every other year going to BiblesByTheCase.com and trying to pick out a good Bible for the kids. So FCA really stepped up to the plate and helped us out, helped us with the budget, because at that time the economy went south. It still isn't strong yet, in my opinion. And you know, we lost some sponsors, and FCA came through for that. So last year at baseball camp, Brad Lane, every year I reach out to FCA to find out who's the local FCA person that I need to talk to see if they'll do it again. And man, for 3 or 4 years, that person's almost been non-existent, or it's been a different person every year. And last year, there was nobody. I called a guy I knew on Hilton Head that I knew he was with FCA there. He got me in touch with a guy in Vidalia. That was the closest FCA person there was to Savannah, or Chatham, Bryan, and Effingham County. That was it. Name was Brad Lane. I met him at the Banner Brothers breakfast, and he gave me the Bibles again. I said, "Thank you so much." Well, he came to the camp on Sunday this year, and he was just blown away. And he said to me, "Man, how'd you like to do this all the time?" I said, "Well, yeah, but I got a job, you know." He said, "We need to talk." And I said, "We are." We kept talking. And so now God is stretching me again. I'll be doing some quote-unquote part-time work with FCA. So what is FCA? I could tell you and talk about it, but I won't. John's got a video that he wants to show that I think does a pretty good job as far as just capitalizing what is FCA and what do they do and how do they do it.
A young basketball coach by the name of Don McLennan, his heart was touched by God, and he saw this vision for FCA. And he was bold and courageous enough to reach out to a gentleman named Branch Rickey and ask him for a 5-minute meeting.
Turned out that 5 minutes ended up being 5 hours. If athletes could endorse automobiles or cigarettes, why couldn't they endorse this thing that was about life?
If we are to have a Christian fellowship, you know you could upset America before the next generation is over. You could. You know you could.
FCA grew quickly enough. But was it just an idea, or was it an idea that would go someplace? Athletes and coaches giving their time, giving their financial support, giving their witness to Christ. There's something more than the playing field. There's something of field of life and the joy and fellowship and power that God gives. Can FCA sustain this kind of growth? Can it lived with its success, and I'm convinced that it's because of the humility, service, sacrifice, just a miraculous thing.
Every morning around the globe, thousands of FCA staff and volunteers begin a journey like no other.
We are a foot in the door ministry, and we help the church get into places where it can't really go.
We're constantly trying to stay out front and be on the cutting edge.
To me, I don't know of any ministry that has a greater impact on our youth today than FCA.
I think it's more important now than it has ever been.
And yeah, it's relevant.
Get them when they're in elementary school, middle school, all the way up through the professional and adult level. And so few ministries are able to do that.
Never lost sight of their mission. Never lost sight of the need to draw people to Christ.
One vehicle that we have in schools is teaching the Word of God.
If you look at what you see on TV, all the things, it looks like we're losing. I'm here to say we're not. He has had his hand of protection on this ministry. It is for this time.
Creating true leadership and coaches.
We've really matured into a ministry that's ministering to and through the coach.
The unique opportunity the coaches have in the school building is that you're planting seeds every day.
In order for them to be the most effective person for Christ with their players, we need to get at their hearts first.
FCA is constantly and consistently planting kingdom seeds.
As a coach, I can impact my players a lot, and in turn bring the players to Christ.
So if we can get them to understand really what it means to coach for Christ, we'll see campuses transform, we'll see athletes transform, we'll see entire communities transformed.
Transforming the campus.
There'd be no way to identify the Christians on the public school campus openly if we didn't have the Fellowship Christian Athletes.
FCA gives me the opportunity and other athletes the opportunity to share faith through sports.
They're not the objects of ministry only. They're the ministers that are on the campus.
To go into public schools and open God's Word and share our faith in the context of the classroom or the locker room or the gymnasium, I love that.
FCA offers over 500 camps, 33 countries worldwide. Over 85,000 coaches and athletes experience both inspiration and perspiration.
It's just great to have God on your side when you're playing sports like that. It's just tearing your whole life up.
Transforming community.
As we establish ministry in community sports, we feel like we're aligning our ministry to not only reach coaches and athletes that compete on the campuses, but also in the communities around the world.
We are at a key time as a ministry, as the door has been opened to take what we've learned for 60 years to the nations and serve the world.
It's an impact to the city and at the same time to the churches.
And to encourage our athletes.
An opportunity to serve others through FCA.
As God raises up leaders, wherever they are, God's going to bring a revival.
I'm a financial guy. I like results. And I don't know of any better place to invest my money today than the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
To see FCA advance across America and now the globe internationally, we are abundantly grateful.
We are the ministry today because of the faithful servants who've gone before us. We're going to be the ministry tomorrow because of the seeds we planted today.
FCA, over 60 years of victory in Christ.
All right, so there you go. That did a lot better than I could. You know, so now what? No presence of FCA in Savannah in Chatham, Effingham, or Bryan County. Zip, zilch, nothing, not. So I just felt a tug to help and just get something started here. So I guess I'm kind of like I'm going to be a missionary in our own backyard, so to speak. You know, like Luke is in on his way to Dominican Republic right now, probably on his way to Atlanta right now than to Dominican. But, you know, he couldn't go. That's an FCA trip as well. But he couldn't go on the trip unless he was fully funded to do it. So, again, God is stretching me. Everything I've done, baseball chapel, baseball camp is unpaid. This is a paid thing. And the mission doesn't start until you're fully funded. So, again, that's a stretch for me. It really is. So, and the goal for me is $1,250 a month on recurring support. So if God puts it on your heart to help out in some way, there's a couple of things here that we can put on the back table or whatever. It's an FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes card. It's got my name on it. A lot of people say, well, how do we know it's going to go to you? Well, it says Savannah FCA. There isn't Savannah FCA right now, but we're hoping there will be. You know, it doesn't take the place of your tithe. You know, it's above that. And if you're not tithing, I dare you, tithe. Try it. Test God on it. If you don't think you can live without the money, try Him. You know, I dare you. And if you need it back, I'm sure Dusty will give it back to you. You know, if it's tight, seriously. You know, if times are tight and you miss a bill, he'll give it back. But if you're not tithing, I dare you to do it. Give it a shot. Start small if you have to. That's what I did. You know, I was bumming at the end of the year. I did the taxes. I was right on. It was like 4%. I was like, oh, man. But it feels good. But, you know, again, if God puts it on your heart to help out, would love to have you partner with me. I'll be the Savannah area. I'll be handling Savannah State, Armstrong, and I'll be the Savannah area, all over area baseball guy. Don't know what that looks like. But it can be with the adult baseball leagues. It can be with travel teams. It can be with chain baseball, Tony Minor, Little League, whatever. And I'm free to make that up as I go along, which is kind of cool. But I'll leave this on the back table for you. There's a link online. Maybe we can put that out somewhere. There's an electronic link. And even use your card if you want. You know, if you want to write down, if you want to have a cup of coffee, and I'll share with you my vision in a little more detail. I'd love to do it. And if you have contacts, I know one person at Savannah State, two people, Gwen and then Ryan's baseball coach this summer. It happens to be, no coincidence, I'm sure, but he's the assistant coach and the pitching coach for Savannah State. And that was determined before I signed on the dotted line with FCA. I thought that was pretty cool. And Savannah State's going to be like my mission field, one of them. So I'll leave these white cards on the back table there. And definitely need your prayers. Because this is something totally different for me, and I'm stretched. I might get taller, but we'll see what happens. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
All right, kiddos, join me up here. All righty. How's everybody today? Y'all get around here so you can see. I've got something in my bag here. Come on around here, Will, so you can see. No, it's not a ring. All right, I'm going to read you this verse, out of Philippians. Listen to it closely. Here's what it says. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you, in view of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, Paul was talking to the Philippian church and saying that he was a partner with them. Do y'all ever need a partner to do something? Somebody to help you do a job?
Sometimes I do.
Let me ask you. Stewie, lay down there on the floor for just a minute. Right out here. Lay down flat. Now say Stewie fell down and we had to take him to the doctor. Jackson, if you had to take him to the doctor, how would you get him there? Huh? Okay, but wouldn't you go get some help? Why don't you get David and let's see if you could pick him up. Y'all see if y'all can pick him up. Yeah, go on, pick him up. All right. Okay. There you go. All right, now Jackson, okay, David, let go of him. Now Jackson, you try to pick him up by yourself. It's kind of hard, isn't it? You needed a partner. Now, come over here. I want you to look at this. I want to show you something. I got something in my bag here. This is a Goodwill bag. Yeah, Miss Audrey and Brother Dusty love Goodwill too. All right, now, I've got a bolt here. And just say that nut, I really needed, it was stuck. And I needed something to turn that with. What would be a good thing to turn it with?
Screwdriver.
A wrench?
Yeah.
Or what else?
A little wrench.
A little wrench? Anything else? How about this? How about this right here? Not a crowbar. Come on. How about a pair of pliers? About a pair of channel locks? Look at that. You could turn that thing just like that. See that? See? Oh, man, look at it. I can turn it very easily. But see, it takes this side and this side. It takes both of them together. Now, I've got a special pair of pliers I want to show you.
Is it golden?
Oh, no, these aren't golden. Oh, these are special. I guarantee you've never seen pliers like these. Okay?
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Those aren't even pliers.
Wait a second. What happened? I only got one side of my pliers. What happened to it? Let's look at them. It broke off. It fell off. I can't do anything like that, can I? I have to have both. You see that? There you go, Jackson. Give me five. Did you hear the word he said? Partners. Partners. Now, I know. I do need to take better care. Thank you. Thank you, Will. Captain Obvious. All right. Now look at the pliers. Here's me, and here's you, and here's God's hand using both of us to do His work. Got it? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Thank you for these children that we love so much, Lord. I pray you'll bring the good news of Jesus to their hearts each day. I pray for their moms and dads, all their relatives, Lord, the people that they see on a regular basis, Lord, that they will be the light of the gospel for these children, that they can see how the good news of Jesus works. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to your class now. To Kids Zone. My dad's not here today to see those broken channel locks. Oh, Pop, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Uh-oh. I'll have to dig in your backyard to find some. My brother would get Pop's tools out of his tool pouch when he was a little kid. And wherever he got finished with them, he'd drop them in the backyard. So if you went to their backyard today with a metal detector, you'd find pliers, side cutters, dyke, screwdrivers, all of it, all over that yard. Please pray for Jason. God has put this in place. In His sovereignty, the sand gnats and that stopping, and then the opening up of FCA. This is God doing it. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. They were telling me about a revival that is beginning in the ball players on the teams at the University of Georgia. That God is moving, is beginning to move there in Athens in their hearts and lives. So I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And this God has his hand on. So I'd encourage you to get one of these and pray over it. And I do it in the exact order that that Jason said to you. Remember, the Lord is going to bless your tithe. As you 10% unto the Lord through your local body, and on top of that, giving, ministry, that he puts in your heart. And as I remind, I sent you a little email this week. Just because it's summertime and we may go on vacation, there's not a single financial obligation that this church has that goes on vacation during the summertime. Not one. In fact, it's more. Because we're running those air conditioners to beat the band and a lot of repair bills this past week. So just want to remind you that this ministry is a vital thing. I encourage you to take one of those before you go today. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And I want to tell you a story. A boy by the name of Joseph, he was the child of later life of his father, Jacob. Jacob showed him special attention. Jacob gave him things that he didn't give to the other boys, i.e., what was one of the gifts he got? The coat of many colors. God's hand was on Joseph. And how do we know that? Anybody? That's right. His brother's almost kidding. But what was God doing for him? What gift did the Lord, had the Lord given him? He gave dreams and interpretation of dreams. Well, he didn't understand that at the beginning, and neither did his brothers when he decided to share his dreams with them, because they weren't exactly the protagonists in his dream. But I want to read this from Genesis 39. This is after he is sold into slavery. Now, if it had not been for one of his brothers, he would have been killed out there in the wilderness. But they tell his dad that he's been killed. They decide to sell him into slavery. The slavers go down and he's sold into the household of a fellow by the name of Potiphar down in Egypt. And that's where this story is. Listen to it. Verse 1 of chapter 39. And now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. Now I want to ask you, how do you become a successful man if you're a slave? Well, reference back that point, God had his hand on Joseph. So whatever he put his hand to, it was blessed. We're going to see that. He was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now Potiphar's not a believer, but Potiphar is a pragmatist. And in his pragmatism, he said, man, whoever this guy's God is, he's blessing him. I'm going to get on this gravy train. And that's what he does. So Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar, became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned, he put in his charge. Now what happens? Things grow. Things begin to prosper. His household, I mean, it's coming in. Everything is going well in Potiphar's household. Then enter Mrs. Potiphar. Because Not only did was Joseph beautiful on the inside, he was a handsome man on the outside. And she was after him. She set all kinds of traps to try to bring him in. And finally, he has to run away from her one day, and she grabs at him, and she has one of his garments. She comes and accuses him to her husband, and Joseph gets thrown in jail. Remember the story from there? He's in jail. And it's back and forth and back and forth. He's in there a long time. And finally, the Pharaoh needs a dream interpreted. And Joseph is the one who does it. When you go to the end of his story, he is second in command in Egypt. God leads him and shows him the interpretation of this dream that he's going to store up all this grain. Imagine that the head of state of one of the largest empires in the history of mankind at that time, you know, proportionally so, would turn his whole governmental scheme over to this Jew who had been a slave. And he turned it over to him. He stores up that grain, and they have the seven years of plenty, then the 7 years of drought. And that's how his family comes back to him. They come there wanting to buy grain. You know the story. Now, I wish I could go into detail that story with you today, all the parts of that. But the reason why that I tell you that story is that story is a message of hope. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to call this my H series, letter H. Topics we're going to talk about all begin with H, and they're all going to relate back to hope. Hope. What happens if you take hope away from a man or a woman? Years ago, when I had my first time, I'd been going in and out of prisons and jails since the time I became a pastor or went on staff at a church years ago. We'd go visit people at jail and visit them and in prison. But through the ministry called Kairos, I actually went into the big house there in Reidsville. We would spend essentially 72 or the waking hours of 72 hours, a block of 4 days there, beginning on Thursday night through Sunday evening, there in the prison. The only thing we didn't do was sleep there. And we spent all this time with these prisoners, these inmates that were there. At the table where I was, because they assigned a pastor to each table, I had probably 8 or 10 guys that were at my table. The one with the shortest sentence was 20 years. In fact, he was the only one that didn't have a life sentence. Every other guy on that table, around that table, had a life sentence. So when you mention the word hope, let me tell you, in a prison, hope is in short supply, is it not? I got a lesson over those few days about hopelessness. This story with Joseph, it's about a lot of things. But hope is the underlying scheme of the whole story. Because there could have been hopelessness enter at any time. Relationships at home. You know, the bickering back and forth. Is that a hopeless situation? The plot to kill Joseph, is that a hopeless situation? You're hauled off by Ishmaelite slave traders to God knows where, and you're in their caravan. What are you going to do? That's a hopeless situation. You're sold to a guy that you've never met, these people who look different. Joseph had never seen an Egyptian before. You look at those paintings, those carvings of the way the Egyptians looked at that time. A totally different culture than his. Imagine what he must have thought. Hopeless situation. What am I going to do here? What are these people going to do with me? I'm just this Jewish kid that's been sold into slavery. And then he rises, and then it's like it's snatched away again. It's like there's a plot against him. And on every turn, as the plot thickens, it seems that God intervenes and does something else. You see the story? At any point, Joseph could have just given up. Now, a few things I want to say to you about it. Kind of to wrap this together, because this is going to be, we're going to talk about this for several weeks. Life is hard. And life tends to stomp hope out of the soul of human beings. Can I get a witness on that? Go around the world. And what do you see people doing? They are desperate people who are hopeless, and they're willing to do anything for a little ray of hope in their life. We're playing softball out on the west side of Savannah. I think I was about 17, 18 years old. Team my dad coached. And I had it good back then. I played baseball during the day and softball at night. Had all the bases covered. We were playing softball. And we had a good team, really, really good team. We traveled around, you know, within a few mile radius, playing tournaments and all that. We're playing this team. They were beating the stuffings out of us. They had like a 12, 15-run lead. If we didn't score some runs, they were gonna call the game. They were going to run rule us. And my dad got us together. And over there on the sideline, he said, "Well, boys," he said, "time for you to make a decision. You going to play this or not?" Now, they're up a lot of runs on us. What are you going to do about it? Base hit. Base hit. Base hit. I've never seen anything like this. Been playing ball around it all my life. 13 base hits in a row. Now, something happened around about that second or third base hit. The other team let us start to hope. What are you hopeful about? Life is hard, and it will stomp hope out of your life. Circumstances come that just deflate you. Look at the story that I told you about Joseph. But what did in each place, what did God provide for Joseph? He allowed Joseph to see through the circumstances that there was a light on the other side, and that light of hope. Hope allows a person to not let their past dictate their future. How many of you have had that lorded over you and say, you'll never amount to anything. This about you. Look where you've come from. This can't be in your life. I was watching a professional ball game one day, and the team had a comeback, not quite as dramatic as the one I described to you. And the commentators, they'd already given the game up for the other team. They said, well, I guess the people in the stands, the commentators, all the fans, TV viewing audience, everyone had given up hope. They said, I guess they forgot to tell the guys playing the game that they're supposed to give up and lay over. Look at Joseph's life. He never did that. He had every excuse in the world to give and say, oh, you know, I'm giving up. It's too hard to live in this life in this way. I'm going to roll over. But at each point, what happens? Hope enters in. Hope enters in, and there's a change. Hope will allow you to become what God intended you to become. Why is that? Because hope is a gift from God, where He lets you see things how they might be. One of the things that's made this country so great that people from all over the world are banging on the door trying to get in, getting into this country any way they can, is this idea, hope. Bring me your tired. You're poor. Look at it. It's an invitation. Go back in your lineage. I don't think I'm looking at too many people that came from the line of kings and queens in Western European countries. What I'm looking at is a lot of folks that came here because of famine, who came here because there was nothing else to do, who came here because they were persecuted because of their religion. You see, it's hope. Hope is that commodity. True hope is a divine quality. You see, it's otherworldly, isn't it? When someone can see beyond the circumstance and see the way, oh, this is how it is supposed to be because you happen to have been born this way, or the color of your skin is this, or you were born in that place, or your mom and daddy happened to be this, or fill in the blank. And God says to all of that, here's what I say. I am Lord over all. True hope has its origin with the Lord. Listen again what I read to you from Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord, and then he uses covenant name there, Yahweh, was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. That hope produced a powerful result. Now listen to me. There's some of you sitting here today, you've allowed yourself to become beat down by circumstances, by the junk of life. You're too young. You're too old. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You don't have enough hair. You have too much hair. You live over here or you live over there. Man, just make something up. Just make it up. And God says to all of that, doesn't matter. Because He's a majority of one when it comes to you. And the hope He has for you, He wants to change your life. Now listen to me. He not only wants to change you, He wants to change those who your life touches. There's never been, in the history of our country, a greater opportunity for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus, than there is today. People everywhere are crying out for answers, for hope. And you have the answer, don't you? Imagine what would happen if where you live, with your family, with your friends, with those you hang out with, your neighbors, if you started sharing the hope of Jesus. Whew. This building wouldn't hold them. It's time. It's time. If you really believe that Jesus can change lives. Joseph really believed the Lord would watch over him, and He did. He took him through all kinds of circumstances. Let me tell you something about Joseph. He was the same man in prison as he was at the top of the political pile in Egypt. Same guy. Same guy. Trusting God. What about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about this? It's time. It's time for an infusion of hope in people's lives. Man, if you listen to the news today, you want to jump off the Talmadge Bridge, or whatever they call the bridge now. It's a longer jump today. You want to just withdraw from society. And God's not calling us to withdraw. God's calling us, it's time to tune it up. It's time to become sharper with the good news of Jesus. What if the people in your life started to hope that their life could be different? It'd change them. It'd change them. And I want to pray for you, and then we're going to open the altar. And maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe you want to come and just spend some time with the Lord. This is your time. This is your time. I do not believe that I have missed the target today. I know in my heart I've spoken accurately from the Lord today. I know that. What's He saying to you about hope? Sometimes just a word changes. Let's pray. You have never received Jesus in your life. This is the day the Lord has made. It's the day for you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Won't you come to the Savior today? If you want to come for prayer today, this altar's open. Now, Lord Jesus, we come in Your presence. I thank You for speaking to us today. I thank You, Lord, for Your word clear and plain through the life of Joseph. Thank You, Lord, that we can trust You. Some of us, Lord, don't see a way clear. But may this be the day where we can see with Your eyes and hope. H-O-P-E. Thank You, Lord. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. We've got several people that need prayers today. We want to remember them today. Daniel wants us to pray for his family. His uncle passed away, and we've been praying for him, and the Lord delivered him from his suffering. And I promised Daniel he'd get to say something about that.
Any food, Uncle Robert passed away last Sunday, by 10. My angel needs some food, dessert, food, whole house. Somebody need pink whole house, put to me that's Saturday.
Okay. All right, Daniel. We'll sure be praying for her, okay? We want to remember Kate Sexton also. This is 2 weeks in the hospital, and they still don't have an answer for her pain. She's had her gallbladder removed, and they're narrowing things down, investigating things, but she needs our prayer. She needs help today for that. We continue to remember Debbie in our prayers. Ethan Landolt had surgery this week, and we've got a lot of folks that are touched by Heidi's mom fell and broke her hip. She had hip surgery this weekend. So let's bring these before the Lord. And Priscilla, come up here with me, please. Come up here. Or Rihanna, whatever you're going by these days. Don't hurt me now, please. I'm fragile. Just remember that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you already own all of these situations. In each one of these, I thank you for your power. Thank you for your healing. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you for the hope of heaven, Lord, the hope of forever with you. Lord, I pray in each case that your hand, your powerful hand, would be upon me. And Lord, we pray for Priscilla and for the basketball camp this coming weekend. We pray that the good news of Jesus is going to shine through every dribble, every shot, every drip of sweat that drops on that gym floor. Lord, it'll be about Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll empower the team this weekend, Lord, as they work in your vineyard. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We send you out. Now bring back some fruit.